Welcome to another edition of Shoot the Takedown with myself, Gosta Ursis, alongside John Hobbs. And on this edition, we really had the pleasure of interviewing MMA royalty, former UFC light heavyweight champion and current Bellator top contender, Lyoto Machida, alongside his brother, karate master Chinzo Machida, and former Bellator featherweight.
I'll start off. What advice would you give to people wanting to train and stay motivated in the current pandemic?
Okay, we're going to start here. Okay, Costa. So, everyone knows that this moment is very, we are struggling in this current situation, but to be active is so important now. Why? Because you can improve your self-esteem. You can improve your immune system through martial arts, through training, through exercise. So the advice is don't surrender yourself for the pandemic. Like, don't give up on this, because I haven't seen a lot of people, they start quitting the life in terms of achieve the goals, in terms of keep living in a good way, keep your heart strong, keep your immune system strong, keep your emotional side strong. They quit in terms of, I don't care anymore because this pandemic make me be stuck in home, to be locked in home. So I don't believe that. No, I believe that we cannot control the virus. We can control ourselves. Of course, you have to have all the precautions about the virus. Use the mask, clean yourself, wash your hands. Everything has to be done. But if you too worry about that, it's the time when the virus can come in your body. If you live your life in the way that you believe, that doing exercise, believe in yourself, don't be so strict on that, because wherever you find the fear, you find the hole to give opportunity for bad stuff, for bad things in your life. So I believe that if you take vitamin D, take some sun, keep your diet good, very health and training, keep your exercise yourself. That's so important to improve your self-belief, improve your self-esteem, and make you go better during this current time.
So in my opinion, I think Chinzo here. So I think you need to make a more practical, to make your life better this than pandemic. I think it's very important you create the routine, because once everything stops, everything's locked down, you break your routine. Because you used to go to work, go to job, you used to go to the gym, you used to go to hang out with your friends. So when this coming toward your eyes, you change everything. So you need to create a new routine. For example, you can put I wake up 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And then my first activity is going to be this. After, I'm going to do the breakfast. And after the breakfast, I'm going to do this. You have to put in order what you have to do. And as Lyoto told, you have to be relaxed that the thing you cannot have control. For example, if you don't have a control for some situation, you're not going to worry about that. Because if you worry too much about that, you're going to be stressed. You're going to be you're going to have more anxiety, and that's going to make you sick. Sometimes not for a coronavirus, but sometimes for the other things. And I think it's the routine make you busy, to have your a daily more healthy and safe.
It sort of leads on from the first question, but How has the Machida Karate Academy adapted to the current climate? I've seen a lot of stuff online training and different ways of training, and now things are going back to normal. Has it been a big headache for you to try and adapt with the training techniques?
So it's Shinzo here. So yeah. So since you heard that you have to be the lockdown, you put 1 week off, and this week off you start thinking how you're gonna make like our students keep training, because you knew it's very important to keep health, and the karate makes you have a better life, even the mind and even the physical. So, and you stop be off for 1 week, and after that you through the Zoom and through the live stream Instagram, you put our class, and also you create after 1 month you create our virtual dojo. That's make people around the world, you have to contribute for people around the world that they can practice from the home, the karate, the technique, they can improve that. So, and you create the Machida Virtual Dojo. So if you have a chance, you can check it out, and you're going to see a lot of techniques, a lot of instructions. So me and Yoro, you take care about that, make the people practice and keep you healthy in this kind of the lockdown, the quarantine.
What are the most important principles of Machida Karate?
So, Lioro, Machida Karate is based on technique and principles. So, we have all the Dojo Kun principles. We try to apply that during our daily life. But one thing that we like to mention is the Kaizen, the Japanese word. We wrote that in our gi, which means Kaizen, continual improvement. So we gotta believe that every day is a better day than the day before. So today is better than yesterday, and tomorrow gonna be better than today. So when you have this concept in our mind, we always believe that even though sometimes we struggle in some situation in our daily life, but you have to believe that situation is only to teach us something and to make us a better human being, a better professional, a better athlete, a better person in this world, to make you strong to face another situation and believe that everything gonna be all right at the end of the day. So that situation just gonna put you in a better situation in the future. Like, strong yourself, gonna make you grow in certain point. So, and we believe that the principle of karate is that not only based on the technique, like the technique comes together, everything that you're gonna learn comes together, but the most important thing is how you're gonna apply that in your daily life, because we have here a bunch of students. But we know that not even 10% wants to be a karate guy or wants to be a professional fighter or wants to be a teacher in karate. But most of them want to do different professional career or different thinking in their life. But they have to carry with them this principle of how to overcome hard moments. Understand that the hard moment is important for us to grow, to learn, to understand better our life.
And being one of the most famous karate families, if not the most famous karate families in MMA, can you see more fighters in the future coming from karate backgrounds? Obviously, at the moment, you've got Weber Almeida, who's from your dojo as well, fighting in Bellator. Can you see more and more fighters in the future coming from a traditional karate background?
I believe that karate now is more acknowledged by people because they understand the principle of karate in terms of technique. So we can see left and right, purpose, left and right karate guys come from everywhere, like Wonder Boy, Weber Almeida, Bruno Souza is another guy that's gonna fight in in 10 days in LFA. He's one of our students. And a bunch of other fighters. For example, Patricio Pitbull is a karate guy under Mano Santana Sensei.
And his brother as well.
Patricio. His brother as well, Patricio and Patrick. They are current Bellator champion. We can notice that they understand so the importance of karate in terms of distance, time, the way that we apply the technique, no, because we are very strict on that. We like to fix the details. Some of fighters, they don't care about details, but details makes the difference during when it comes to a high level performance. So I still believe that more people gonna train in karate because they understand more, and I feel happy because we can put karate in a mainstream
the best MMA events
in the future.
Great. And at this point, we're going to bring in John as well, who will ask a few questions.
Okay. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Following on from the answer you just gave there, I think there's a couple of things that are very noticeable about you guys when you're fighting, and that being your speed and your timing, and how different that is from some of the other kind of less traditional sort of fighters out there. So the question I want to ask really is, previously, a lot of fighters came with a single base, whether it was karate or wrestling or kickboxing. But now there's a generation of fighters coming through that have only ever done MMA. They didn't start out in a more traditional style and sort of migrate into MMA. How do you think that affects a fighter when they get under pressure? Because they talk about that under pressure, you fall to your level of training, you don't rise to your expectations. So how do you feel that affects a fighter if they haven't got a standard base?
So I consider our family, myself as an old school. So I still believe that you have to have one like martial arts that you master that martial arts. Because if you master these martial arts, you believe that doesn't matter what happened inside the cage, what happens during the fight, you're going to try to bring the fight for the field that you really believe. No? In order to do that, you have to train that as a base martial arts. Like, for example, Fabrício Werdum, he trains jiu-jitsu all his life. He competes. He was an ADCC champion. He was a BJJ champion. And he became a UFC champion. So I know that the new generation, they come with everything together. Like they start training Muay Thai, boxing. But it's hard to be very precision, to be very accurate when you start training everything together. I still believe that you have to take some time doing something and compete and get some experience in that sport. Of course, you can parallel training other martial arts, but you have to train more one martial art. You have to choose one martial arts because that's gonna decide your life during the fight. For example, I already had some situation in my life that I hit some punch, I hit some kick during the fight, but I believe until the end that I could knock the guy out. That's mindset is important because we all know that the mindset can decide everything. If you have the strong mind, you can decide your life sometimes. It's not about technique itself. It's about your mind. In order to have this mindset, you have to train one thing. For in karate, you say train more 10,000 times each technique. If you want to do 10,000 times each technique just in karate, for example, you have to take effort, to do that because we all have only 24 hours in a day. So you have to take some time, some years of your life dedicating yourself to one sport, and that's going to make a huge difference in your mindset. It's more about mindset because I believe that if I lose in this field, I lose the fight. I don't care. But if you do everything like halfway, you're not going to understand that principle. You're not going to understand that you have one thing that can you can take until you die. I mean, like, you can take with yourself. I don't care about what's going to happen. I'm going to use what I believe that I'm going to use. If you have too many options, sometimes you become weak. And that's I've seen that a lot of things happen in this new generation is like that. You see a lot of physical condition, but less technique. Why less technique? Because they improve a lot the conditional. They can take the fight. They can get the fight. They can support the fight until the end. They have the. But when you see the small details, you cannot see the precise technique.
Yeah, it's Shinzo here. So I agree with Lioro. I think it's very important you have your background very sharp, because as you mentioned, the questions like under pressure, that's the techniques come out from you. Because if you don't have like a one very sharp technique, when you feel under pressure, you don't know which directions you're gonna take. So I think it's very important to make you have like a high confidence in one kind of techniques, maybe like a grappling, maybe on the ground, maybe on the punch and the kicks, but you have to train like a hard and spin, like a put your time many, many times to make you more confidence and believe. And that's belief that's come not only from the technique, but come from your mind. So that's the confidence is very important, because especially when you suffer like under pressure, and you if you keep this in your mind, you always believe that you're gonna finish the fight, even when you get up, like the people get beat you up.
Okay, that's great. I suppose following on from that as well, as fighters with a traditional background, when you look at MMA generally, do you see that as an evolution of martial arts, or is there a big change? Is there a revolution there, or is it a devolving? Is it a devolution of martial arts from the traditional? What are your thoughts on that?
So, as Lioro here.
Yeah.
Definitely, MMA is an evolution and revolution as well. Why? Because everything that we have seen, movies and Bruce Lee moves and everything, sometimes we see martial arts, a lot of respects about technique. But when you have to prove everything, now it's time to prove. When it comes to MMA, it's time to prove. Sometimes there are a couple techniques that you cannot figure out during the fight, but you can figure out, for example, sometimes you're doing kata, but you don't understand how to use that technique. And you try to admire your sensei sometimes, you try to admire the technique, but it's more about like stylistic, you know, like more about the beauty of the technique and less about the effective of the technique.
About like the perfectionist. Yeah, not about like the self-protect.
Yes, it's more about the perfectionism than about the
self-protect.
The effectiveness.
Effectiveness.
No, how can I use that in a real life? So when I mean real life, I mean MMA. So try to do that MMA. So I know that because we have our background in karate. So since we are a child, so many things that you use for demonstration, for presentation, for example, you cannot use that in the real life, in the real fight. I mean, why? Because that is just to show the beauty of karate, which is so amazing. But we cannot get confused and understand that technique you have to separate. That technique you cannot use in the real life. That other technique you can use in the real life, in the real fight. That's so important. MMA came to show us the evolution of martial arts, the revolution as well, because everything that sometimes you believe, you became more skeptical now, because you cannot you not believe anymore, you know, in certain techniques. That's the way that I believe that MMA can. So that's why I'm very fan of MMA. And once one fight starts, we never know what's going to happen. Even if you have someone underdog, they can reverse everything and change everything during the fight. So you never know. That's the beauty of the fight.
So has there been any news from Bellator on when they'd like to get you back in the ring on and on any potential opponents? Have they set a date, possibly?
So, Lioro, for me, they said probably I'm going to be back in the end of August, but the Bellator didn't come back yet. They plan to do a lot of events during, like, in 2 months. They're going to do a lot of events. That's what I hear about. And they said they didn't say any, they didn't mention any opponent, but I just said that I would like to fight 205 this time because, you know, I struggle a lot to make the weight, not in terms of losing weight, but in terms of, you know, to keep my diet sometimes. So I want to train more, like, more free. Don't worry about the diet. I never struggle in terms of losing weight, but I have to be more focused in order on my diet in order to lose weight.
And for me, I'm retired from my professional fights as an MMA professional. So because now I take care more of the academy, so we put the Machida Karate, like the methodology of the Machida Karate with the students, and we have a lot of association around the world as well. So you are, I'm in charge of spreading this Machida Karate, this our methodology with the techniques as well, and the principle of the philosophy. And we work together here, Lioro's fight, and I'm taking care of the students.
Great, guys. And this one's for Lioto. What difference did you feel in your first few fights in Bellator compared to the UFC? Obviously, they talk about octagon jitters in the UFC, but I'm sure it's also strange coming from the UFC, fighting so many years there, going to another organization.
So every change, it's not easy. So when I changed to Bellator, I decided that I would like to change because Bellator has a good staff, good people over there. And in terms of business as well, was better for me in that moment. So, and when I stepped on the cage in the Bellator, of course, I felt a little bit different. I felt like, so how can I, because always there is a pressure. If you're going to debut, is a pressure. If you're going to retire, there is a pressure. If you're going to defend the title, there is a pressure. If you're going to do your first fight in UFC or Bellator, there is a pressure. Even though I'm a veteran fighter, but I felt the pressure because it's a new event. I want my best, and I wanna like satisfy my chefs, no? Scott Coker, Michael. I would like to do. Then there is some pressure. There was some pressure on me. Then I felt a little bit, but nowadays I can say that I feel really good in Bellator, and I really appreciate that, and I really want to say thank you for all the other people in Bellator. They treat me so good. I'm so grateful for all the years that I spent in UFC. It was amazing for me as well. But I believe life is a cycle, so everything has to finish and start a new cycle. In this moment, I'm in Bellator 100%, and I want to give my best.
It's something you touched on earlier, Lioto, about weight and cutting and that sort of thing. So the question is, having fought at both middleweight and light heavyweight in Bellator and the UFC, do you have a preference for where you'd like to stay, or do you enjoy moving at both weights up and down?
So I don't like to lose weight, of course, but I like to fight in both weights. You know? I like to fight 185 because it's a different approach. When you fight in 185, you find a lot of athletes. They have fast reactions. They are lighter, but they are so technical sometimes. When you fight in 205, it's a different. They are heavier. They are slow a little bit. Sometimes you can fight some fighters in 205 faster, but most of them, they are no too faster. They're, compared to 185, they are slow. But they're heavy, they hit hard. And, you know, I like to test myself in both classes because I like to flow in both categories and see how I can figure out how can I fight in different weights and how I can, the way that I can fight against other fighters in different weights.
What have you both made of the situation in the UFC, you know, with these recent retirements or so-called retirements from McGregor, Masvidal, Jones, and a lot of other fighters complaining about pay and this, that, you know, there's a lot of media focus on that situation. What have you guys made of it as, you know, athletes, let's say?
I think this is like, because it's a mixed martial arts, it's a martial arts, but the way that's now the current they are doing like an MMA, the UFC, Bellator is also is a part of the business. So you can like, you have to consider that as a part of business, everybody wants to make more like a money because they fight for that. So this, I think, is more relation between the people that manage the UFC, Bellator with the fight. I don't see anything wrong for both parts. I think it's about more about the deal that they handle each other, they have each other. So that's my opinion.
So I believe that payments always gonna be a problem. Sometimes, if you always believe that you don't receive enough, they don't put value on yourself. But and they said I wanna retire. Sometimes it's a game, you know. I can say like I'm gonna retire. They're gonna offer me more money. Then I'll be back to the company and fight again. But I believe that they are not wrong, they are right. So it's the way that they believe. But I still understand, I still believe that that's all about negotiation. They can figure out everything. They're not going to retire forever. They're going to be back, for, of course. They are young, and they have a future ahead of them. So I don't believe that they're going to retire.
Thank you, guys. And we'll bring in John for a few more questions here.
Okay, yeah, guys. I mean, following on from that, with the different organizations, how do you feel politics within a promotion can shape a career for a fighter? Or is it all just down to wins and losses?
So I believe in both. So I believe that the politic can, the promotion can support you, know, and, but at the same time, it's, at the end of the day, you have to bring results. If you don't bring results, it doesn't matter. As a professional fighter, as a professional athlete, in different sport that you're going to practice, you're going to be active. So you have to show results. Otherwise, there is no conversation. Because so people want to see the results. Once you have the result, they just have to accept you. So you see fighters, they can use trash talk, they do sometimes bad things outside the cage, but still they still accept them because they have results, and professional sports live by results.
Okay, yeah. So for you, Lyoto, after all these years of competing, the things you've achieved, how do you stay motivated to carry on, and what is there left for you to achieve? That what's your goal? What are you focusing on now?
So I was born to be a champion. That's I have that in my concept. So I used to be UFC champion, and what motivates me, because you know I love what I do every day. When I wake up, I'm so grateful, and I like to challenge myself. I like how to figure out techniques in ground and stand up position and rest. And I like to understand the technique. That motivates me a lot. And also I like to set examples, you know, for the next generation, because I believe everything is in our mind. Doesn't matter if you are 40 years old, 42 years old, 45 years old, if you believe, you see Mike Tyson, in his 53 years old, he still can fight. He's still showing the performance that he can apply in the ring. Why? Because it's about the mind. When you start quitting our mind, like I don't have any motivation anymore, I don't want to fight anymore, that's the way that you're gonna just going down, down, down until you finish your career. But because I love what I do, I love to train. So Shinzo, he on my side, he can say that because I train in like 24 hours. For example, Sunday sometimes I put some weights in my ankle and I train by myself. I do straight. Everything that I search in the internet is about training. I go to the Google, I go to YouTube. I saw a lot of training, like old guys training. How can I improve my VO2 max? How can I improve my running? How can I improve my karate techniques and my ground game? I have seen everything since when I was a child. Once you love what you do, you always motivate. So the thing that I think is the day that I have to stop. Because one day I'm going to stop, of course. That's going to be my day that I have to face. Maybe my biggest opponent is going to be this day. Because when you love what you do, so sometimes you don't work, man. You just, like, live your life. Have fun all the time, you know? Have fun all the time. Sometimes I go to sparring and somebody do some technique on me. And I think with myself and say, hey, how can I figure out that technique? Then I go to my house, I go to my home and think about, watch some videos. I like to record all my sparring. And I see how this guy attacked me. Then next time I'm going to do this and that to beat this guy. But in a good way, no? It's a good rivalry, no? He's my rival during the training. That's important to have someone that is your rival during the training.
Going on from that as well, and I suppose a personal question for me, I've been training for 30 years and I'm in my 50s now, and I look at how I trained years ago compared to how I train now. So what I'd like to know from you in your career is, has your approach to training changed? So when you were young and you were probably fighting everyone like a lion, you know, and you were full of energy, how is that compared to now, you know, years later? Do you look at things differently? How do you manage injuries or the potential of injuries? I'm a physical therapist by profession, so we look at how injuries affect athletes and what we can do to avoid those. With your years of training, what have you done? What have you put in place to address those over time? Or is there something always been there in your training to look out for that?
Yes. So once we can get in old, but we have to become wiser. So getting old is a process, but you have to become wiser because you have to understand all the things. I cannot train the same way that I used to train when I was 20 years old, but I can keep my shape, I can keep my conditioning, and I can evolve my technique if I do the right training. That's the way that I think. So I take care a lot since this is a work that I do. This type of therapy, like massage, like ice, like if I get hurt during the training, I try to get better right away. No, because I don't want to have another problem in the future. So I try to get ready to my next training. Then I take care about my diet. I take care about my body. I do massage every day. It's different when I was 20 years old. But now I put more focus on that stuff because I understand the techniques is in my mind. But my body has to respond that as fast as I can. In order to do that, I have to take care about my body. So I don't stay overweight. I lift weight almost every day. Even if I have no fight, doesn't matter. I try to keep my shape. You know, I try to train. I do stretch. For example, Sundays, I like to stretch. I go to my living room at my home. I do my stretch. I do everything that I have to do to become the champion. That's the mindset that I have. And it has been it has been helped me a lot to keep fighting at 42 years old and still doing sparring, still training with young guys, and I don't feel anything. Of course, some days I feel like tired, but I try to recover and I respect my body. I respect. That's so important, to respect your body. And once you wiser, you understand until you can go during the training.
That's great. It's great insight. And when we're looking at your career over those years, you've had some pretty significant highlight reel knockouts. You know, ones that stand out for me, having watched your career over the years, would be Evans, Couture, Belfort. You know, those were big knockouts. So the two questions here. One for Lyoto. What do you feel was the most significant wins for you personally throughout your career? It might not have been those, but what worked for you? And for Chinzo, you know, those knockouts of Wood, Navarro, Ocampo, what were the biggest wins for you personally as well?
I think the biggest victory was my second fight to the Bellator event, because the guy was beating me in the first round and the second round, but I overcame about all this situation, and I never was mentally broke, and I could use my techniques at the end of the third round. So that's making me like a real challenge, you know, making me real, like he put me to the hard work, not only physically but mentally, because that's making me keep my spirit strong. And that's, I realized that I have not only the good techniques but good, like I was Randall, like the fight with the strong mind to the end of the fight. So I was so like a focus, that's what I'm doing, and never I was thinking that I was losing the fight, but I knew I was losing the fight, but I need one chance to finish that. So for me, it was like a very good fight, because I put like I put this to my mind, no, I can do that. So this for me,
you fought with your heart.
Yeah, I fought with my heart, and that's made me feel different after the fight.
So my fight was definitely against Rashad Evans, because it's not about the fight itself, it's about the cycle that I just finished in that moment. You know, everything that I went through throughout my years of career. So I went
since
when I was 15 years old, I put that in my dream that I would like to become a champion UFC. So I have a long career. So I went to Thailand, I went to Japan, I spent a lot of time in Japan. So way away from my family, from my current wife, and it was very hard moment for me. And I could come back to Brazil and train again. I had experience to train here with Rico Chaparelli in 2003. So when the referee raised my hand and then I put the belt on my waist, was like, you know, I was filming crossing my mind, and everything just was passing my mind, everything that I went through. And for me, that fight was a cycle that I just finished and started a new cycle in my life. That's why Rashad Evans was one of my favorite kills in UFC.
That's great. I mean, that was an incredible fight as well, and I think everyone can see the intensity at the end of that fight. It was tremendous. For those guys who haven't seen it, they need to go and check that one out. So what did you take from that win personally? It's a great win, but what did you take from that moved you forward personally?
So, you know, what I took from that win was the self-belief. So wherever you put in your mind, you can achieve. It depends on you. So, of course, sometimes the wind can come against, the problem can come up to you, but you have to support everything. You have to get everything and keep moving forward, because with that mindset, there is only one way to not quit, because if you not give up, you're going to achieve. So it's a time of it's a matter of time, only a matter of time. You know, people, they get confused when you talk about to fail. So So fail is a part of the process, but important thing. So everybody that win one day in your life, so they fail in some way, they fail sometime, is a part of the process. But people sometimes they don't understand that fail, you can learn, you can become strong, and it's a process, it's a part of the game. When you understand that, you keep strong, you stay strong, so you grow as a person, you grow your soul, then you can move forward all the time towards your goal. But some people, they don't know where you have to go, where they want to go. That's a big problem as well. For me, I always had my goal in my mind. As now, I have my goal in my mind all the time. Once I got there, once I get what I want, I put a new goal, and that's motivating me. That's makes me wake up every day and chase it.
That's great. And on that topic of self-belief there, one of the things that always stood out for me in your career was your variety of attacks. And when I look at some of those fights and I look at some of those kick knockouts, you know, particularly of Couture and Belfort, those seem like quite risky sort of moves to take. And one of the things I always wondered is where do you come up with that? Is it something that you train that specifically, that technique, or do you just see an opportunity and you have an arsenal of techniques and you can pick one instantly from that?
So the fight against Randy Couture, that technique, my father told me that, Leo, we have to have a surprise technique. Let's train that technique, which was a crane kick in karate you call Nidangiri. My father said, let's train that. I believe that technique can surprise your opponent. And if you put the technique, you're gonna feel the difference. So they don't know how to defend this technique. So we train a lot that technique. But most of my wins, so they, of course, we trained that, but we were waiting for the right moment. No put so focus on that. For example, there is a samurai saying that if you just focus on the forest, you cannot see the tree. If you focus on the tree, you cannot see the leaf. No, like you can have to focus everything, not just one thing. Because if you just thinking in one thing, you're not gonna see all the opportunities in your life. So you gotta understand that. Once you understand that, you have to train certain types of technique to apply in a different way, of course, but to leave the fight flow, leave the fight happen, because everything will be well trained, then you're gonna figure out the right time to apply the technique.
Yeah, this is very important. You're talking about is this, you can like keep your training, you can keep your plan, train very hard at the academy, but once the cage close, you have to forget everything. You have just to focus to the fight, and when the opportunity is coming, you're going to be ready to apply that. Because if you worry about some, like a certain point, oh, what do I have to do now? So now is the time to do the technique. Oh, what if I do this, what my opponent is going to do? So you start bring the technique to your mind, you're not going to be in the flow, you're not going to see the technique. So that's in Japanese, there is a word that you call mushin. Mushin, it means like put your mind empty of the thoughts. No thoughts during the fight. And you're going to be open to everything. So what does it mean? You're going to be in the flow. Sometimes you see the technique that you did, that you applied, that you didn't train so much. But this is your subconscious. When you need that, you see the open, you see the opportunity, and you're ready to go. But when you think too much, oh, I have to use that technique, I trained this too much, no, this is not coming to your mind. When you come, you're too late to apply, because you're not going to see the opportunity. The opportunity, you have it be in the flow. You're going to see and boom.
That's great. There's one last question from me, though. This probably comes as a martial artist and a fan. You know, when I watch you both fight, you're very, very similar, obviously. You know, your brother's training the same style. But that flying knee knockouts that you both delivered, is that from Thai boxing or is that from Bushido karate?
It's from karate. No, it's from karate for sure. In karate, you have everything. You have knee, you have elbow, you have the uppercut, you have the hook. But for sport karate, it's not allowed to do those techniques. But as you as your systems is a Machida karate, you apply this for more the realistic and more practical training. So these are repeated like many times. But for that fight, I didn't train specifically for that technique. But I see the opportunity. My opponents all the time try to grab my leg. So when I see almost the end of the first round, I realized that moment. But I didn't thinking, oh, I'm going to throw the knee. No, just I see the opportunity and the knees come out and I did the technique. You know? And this is not only for Muay Thai or this old technique. I never train it I train it, the other techniques, but for sure I train much more karate. And this, you can find the all katas, the knees, everything. But as karate became a sport, they take off everything out from this kind of dangerous technique.
Because if you back in when everything starts, you're going to understand that karate was created for self-defense. One martial arts created for self-defense, they have to have everything. They have to have elbow, knees, punch, ground games. Of course, it's not too specific in certain areas, but we have everything. But once competition starts to they start to put more value in competition, of course, to become an Olympic sport and as a judo. So they start to take out a lot of technique to not get your opponent hurt. So, but the way important is too important. It's very important to understand how to apply the technique. Karate has very, very specific way to apply. Muay Thai has their way to apply. Box has their way to apply. Kung Fu has their way to apply. So every single martial arts has the way to apply the technique. But all of them have kicks, punches, elbow, knee. Because of the competition, because the competition says the way that you train. If you're not going to train something that is not allowing competition. Make sense?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot for that. I won't hog any more of those questions now. I'll hand you back over to Costa.
Guys, thank you so much. So for me, for myself and John, that's pretty much all the questions. To be honest, we could keep you here all day asking questions, because the reason I got into MMA was because of the Machida sort of philosophy and watching Lyoto fight and then finding out about Chinzo later on down the line. So obviously this opportunity, I couldn't thank you enough. And obviously it was great to see you guys in Brazil for that Vitor Belfort event. And I guess there's some great questions there. Thank you so much for taking the time, because I know you guys are so busy running the academy and, you know, you've got so many things on. So to take nearly an hour out of your day means a lot. So we really appreciate that.
Okay. Hey, Costa, I want to say it's Lioto here. I want to say thank you for have been following our career. That's I really appreciate that, man, because we went to different countries to watch my fights, and for me it means a lot to me, because when I see people like that, I really respect that. Thank you, Costa, for everything.
No, thank my you, pleasure. Thank you. My pleasure. And we're gonna come out and watch you win the Bellator Championship now. That's the next goal. Come on.
For sure, man.
That's what we're waiting for. You're going to win the title. Two belts. Come on.
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, guys.
Can I say thank you to you both from me as well. Again, following your career it's a privilege to speak to you and get some insight from one martial artist to another as well.
Thanks for tuning in. For more MMA content, be sure to check out Shoot the Defense on all the socials. That's Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and you can also have a listen to all the football related podcasts on those pages. For our personal Instagram handles, myself, Costa Rusis, and for John Hobbs, it's Hobbs Acupuncture.